I enjoy all the meats of our cultural stew.
Hello and welcome to the Cultural Shoe Podcast. This week we'll be talking about what happened in wrestling over the past few days. We'll be talking about Money in the Bank, Monday Night Raw, and Tuesday Night SmackDown Live. So let's get started with the most controversial part of the weekend, Money in the Bank. I thought Money in the Bank was an okay show. I wouldn't, you know, rate it highly, and I certainly won't be going back to watch it anytime soon. But I thought it was okay. I'd give it maybe a 5 or 6 out of 10. I really didn't think it was anything special. And to be honest, I'm quite disappointed with the match outcomes. I'm not usually one to say, oh, this person should have won and this person shouldn't have won. But you know, I think it was important that we got different winners, to be honest, because I just don't agree. So as you all know by now, Money in the Bank kicked off with the women's ladder match, which was very controversial the way it ended. I didn't hate it as much. You know, Carmella is a heel. She's going to do things like that. It's wrestling, and that's what happens in wrestling. So Carmella is the first ever Miss Money in the Bank, but it doesn't last very long, as we saw on SmackDown. We'll talk a bit more about that soon. But this is the first instance of where I think that the match outcome should have been different. Not just Carmella winning, but I really don't think Carmella was the right person to win. I predicted Carmella, but I really don't think she should have won, to be honest. I don't think she's quite there yet. I don't think she's quite ready. Although her promo on SmackDown was really good. But again, I'll talk about that later. As for Money in the Bank, I think Natalya should have won. I really do. Natalya's been there a long time now, you know, but just nearly a decade now, I think. And what has she really done? She's been Divas Champion, you know, maybe twice or three times, I'm not too sure. But other than that, Natalya is one of the best, if not the best, female wrestlers that they've got there at the minute. And she's just so underutilized, it's unbelievable. And she's quite funny, you know, she's got quite a good character with her cat thing. And obviously, if she was champion, I wouldn't want her to be joking about a cat all the time. But it's, you know, you know that the humour's there. Another person that I thought was capable of winning it was obviously Charlotte. You know, I think Charlotte would be a great Money in the Bank holder. She'd probably turn back heel if she were to win it. And I suppose any one of the five could have won it, obviously. But I think the best option would have been Natalya. So anyway, what happened was, I'm sure you know, that James Ellsworth obviously took the briefcase off the hook and threw it down to Carmella. And the internet just exploded. You know, people saying, oh, a man has won the first ever Miss Money in the Bank. And I don't really see it like that, to be honest. We haven't seen that exact thing, but we've seen people get helped out to win it before. Like they mentioned on SmackDown a few years ago, Kane held the ladder up for Seth Rollins while he grabbed the briefcase. People from outside have interfered in the match to, you know, prevent people from winning. It happens quite regularly. But all in all, I'm not sure Carmella winning the briefcase was the right decision, in all honesty. Now, I'm not going to talk about every single thing in detail on Money in the Bank. I'll briefly mention everything, but I think next up we had the Usos versus the New Day. And like I said in my previous podcast, that I wasn't actually able to watch Money in the Bank live. I was at work, so I haven't even watched this match back. But as far as I'm aware, the Usos won by disqualification or count out or something, and obviously they retained. And on SmackDown we saw that the Hype Bros are going to have an opportunity at the titles next week. So next up, I believe it was Naomi versus Lana. Again, another match that I haven't watched. I've got no interest in this. I'm not really feeling Naomi as a champion. I've not really got too much of a problem with Lana facing her for the title, but I think the big thing to take away from this is what I have heard is that Lana was really impressive in the ring, to be honest, which wasn't all that shocking, to be honest. I think she's great on the mic, and I think she's got a lot of great potential. And obviously Carmella teased in cashing in her briefcase. I'm sure she regrets not doing it now after what we saw on SmackDown. And then I'm just having a look what was next on the pay-per-view, because I'm not entirely sure. So after the SmackDown Women's Championship match, we had Jinder Mahal defending his WWE Championship against Randy Orton, which, you know, I'm from what I've seen, Jinder Mahal won it basically clean. Obviously, there was a bit of malarkey with the outside interference from Randy Orton's dad and the other legends, but other than that, it was just about clean, unless I'm missing something. And this is an issue I have with WWE at the minute. I'm really, really not enjoying Jinder Mahal as a champion. The WWE title is the most important championship in the company, and I just couldn't care less. And that is purely because of who's holding it. I just really don't understand this whole Jinder Mahal experiment at all. and I think he needs to drop the title very, very soon. And I have got no, as long as it's not fucking Mojo Rawley or someone like that, I really don't mind who it is. Hopefully Baron Corbin can cash in soon. Maybe apparently John Cena is going to be challenging Mahal or at SummerSlam. So who knows what we're going to see. But then where does that leave Randy Orton? What, from what we saw on SmackDown, it looks as if this feud's going to go one more pay-per-view, which is Battleground. And if Mahal wins that, then it looks as if Randy Orton's going to have to move on and, you know, accept the fact that he can't beat a jobber. Because that's what he is. Jinder Mahal is not championship material. He is a jobber. That's what he has been since we've known him in WWE. And then all of a sudden, he's just skyrocketed to the top out of nowhere. It's ridiculous. It really is ridiculous when you think about it. So yeah, I'm not the biggest Jinder Mahal fan. And I'm not the biggest Randy Orton fan. I'm really not too keen on seeing Randy Orton win back the title, but I much prefer it to Jinder Mahal. Next up, we had an impromptu match, Breezango taking on the Ascension. I really like Breezango. I think Fandango and Tyler Breeze are absolutely hilarious. I'm sure everyone else does. Tyler Breeze has always been funny. I found him really irritating when he was in NXT and he was doing his, you know, his with the selfie stick and the fluffy boots, and I know he's still doing that sort of thing, but I think it's a lot funnier now and it's a lot more genuinely funny, other than before it was just annoying. Again, this is another match I didn't watch because I didn't watch it live, so I'm not going to go out of my way to watch a 3-minute match. But Breezango win that match, and I'd like to see them get a bit of a push. You know, I really like what they're doing at the minute, and I'd like to see more of it. And then the main event, the Money in the Bank match, Baron Corbin is Mr. Money in the Bank for the foreseeable future. That's quite interesting, I suppose. I'm not the biggest Baron Corbin fan. I did expect him to win it. He was the favourite out of the participants, which is quite shocking, really, considering some of the other people we had in there. But I think the highlight of the night for me, the highlight of the match, was the AJ Styles and Nakamura showdown. That is a potential, you know, main event WrestleMania match. I'm sure Vince doesn't quite see it like that. Maybe Triple H does. But I really, really do think that has the potential to headline WrestleMania for the championship. I really do. And I think, you know, Nakamura, I'm really not on the hype train for Nakamura. I'm really not. I don't understand it. From what I've seen, I genuinely think, and this is going to be controversial, but I think he's quite overrated, to be honest. Don't get me wrong. I love his entrance. I love his charisma. But in the ring, I really don't think he's anything special. And we saw a tease on SmackDown of Baron Corbin cashing in the Money in the Bank briefcase. Obviously, it didn't happen, but it looks as if he might come out quite regularly and just, you know, look at the champion and say, look what I've got. But who knows? I think it's going to be quite an interesting journey with Baron Corbin being the briefcase holder for the time being. So, yeah, that's Money in the Bank. Obviously, you all know what happened, but I'm just sort of spilling off my opinions on the show and what I thought about it and what I liked and disliked. And what I liked was not much, to be honest, but what I disliked was the outcomes of the matches. So let's take a look at Monday Night Raw. We opened up with Roman Reigns announcing his SummerSlam plans, and he's basically declaring himself the number one contender for the Universal Championship. He's going to be facing either Samoa Joe or Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. That is basically what he came out and said. One thing I didn't like about this, and I am a Roman Reigns fan, I'm not a hater, I think he's really good in the ring, I think he's really underappreciated, and I think he's a lot better on the mic than he was a year ago. But what annoys me more than anything, actually, is the inconsistency of the booking and the 50-50 booking. It really grinds my gears. Roman Reigns comes out and says, I beat my little brother Seth Rollins, I beat Finn Balor, I beat Braun Strowman, all one-on-one. Yeah, he did beat them all one-on-one, but he also lost to them all one-on-one at some point as well. So it's just very inconsistent. However, I am looking forward to a Brock Lesnar-Roman Reigns rematch. I have been ever since the first one they had at WrestleMania 31. And the fact that we got Roman Reigns versus Samoa Joe on Raw sort of determines the fact that that is what we're going to get at SummerSlam. And this match has been rumoured for WrestleMania 34 next year, so obviously the plans are changing unless they're going to give it to us twice, which, you know, I wouldn't have too much of a problem with. I think they've got a lot of potential to put on great matches, and Brock, you know, this could be his last year in the WWE if he doesn't sign a new contract. Next up, we had the Hardy Boys taking on the Club, I think. Yeah, that was next, and the Hardys won that match. I'm really enjoying the Hardy Boys. The Hardy Boys were one of my earliest memories of wrestling. And I just love them, and I can't wait to actually see them split up and go their own ways, because I think that is going to happen at some point. Maybe not for a long while, but, you know, they've got to make the most out of them both. Maybe send one to SmackDown, keep one on Raw. And who knows, we could see Matt or Jeff as the next Universal Champion or WWE Champion. Who knows? Now, I was sort of just eyeballing Raw. I'm not too sure what happened next, apart that I'll just, you know, remember off the top of my head. We had The Miz recruit Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel as his entourage, whatever that means. So they're basically going to be following him around, doing all his dirty work for him. And, you know, Miz is still feuding with Dean Ambrose about the Intercontinental title. So we've got that match to look forward to again, which I ain't got too much of a problem with. I'm a big fan of The Miz and Dean Ambrose. I think they put on some great matches. And now with the added entourage, it'll make the matches slightly more interesting. Another story development we had on Monday Night Raw was with that of Finn Balor and The Drifter, Elias Samson. Don't quite understand what's going on there, but it looks as if they could have a potential match at Great Balls of Fire. So Finn Balor's gone from, you know, potentially facing Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship to facing Elias Samson within the space of, like, 2 weeks, which is quite disappointing, but I'm sure Finn Balor will bounce back, and I'm sure we'll have seen him with the Universal title within the next year, so I'm looking forward to that. So next up, we had the breakup of one of the most over tag teams ever. A sarcasm there, but, you know, Big Cass and Enzo are no more. Kurt Angle says that, "I'm going to find out who attacked you both by the end of the night." And it turns out that Big Cass was the one to attack Enzo. And I wasn't sure who attacked Big Cass. I was a bit confused about that. And so I tweeted it out. I asked all my 9 followers on Twitter who attacked Big Cass. And no one replied. But I figured out for myself that Big Cass virtually just faked it, obviously. And Cass says, if it weren't for you, Enzo, I'd have already been a champion in the WWE. And then he kicks his face. And it was quite a good segment, really. Enzo was legitimately crying, which I think is quite funny, because he was probably thinking, fuck, this is the end of me. They're going to send me to 205 Live for a few months. And then I'm calling it now. I think within the next 2 years, Enzo Amore will have been released by WWE. And it is a shame, unless, you know, he can get over somewhere, maybe form a tag team with someone else. I think that's the best bet for him. But I think it was a bit too early to break up Enzo and Cass. You know, they've only been on the main roster for a year and a half, and I know they were in NXT for a long time before that, but I just think it was a bit too early. I mean, they never even held the titles, but anyway, it is what it is. And then the main event of Raw was obviously Samoa Joe versus Roman Reigns, which ended in a hilarious way. Roman Reigns is just about to hit a spear on Samoa Joe, and then what do you hear? You hear an ambulance, and it's coming through, and, you know, it's quite predictable it's going to be Strowman. We know he's not going to be out for 6 months. I think he's been out for about 2 so far. Maybe less, maybe more, I don't know, I haven't been keeping track. And then this ambulance pulls up in the back, and you just see Strowman smash the doors open, and he's just stood there panting, and it's hilarious. Roman Reigns is shitting himself, and he comes through and he beats the shit out of Roman, and he says, "I'm not finished with you," and it's fucking hilarious. So now we've got an ambulance match to look forward to at Great Balls of Fire, which is shaping up to be quite an interesting pay-per-view, to be honest. So yeah, there we go, that's Monday Night Raw. Now into SmackDown. So we open up SmackDown with the controversial Carmella coming out and addressing the Money in the Bank situation. She comes out and she, you know, fights a cause. And we cut to Daniel Bryan backstage, and basically throughout the night we have each of the participants coming out and saying why Carmella should be stripped of the Money in the Bank, and, you know, they're all right, really. I mean, I don't really have too much of a problem with it, but they are right with the fact that Ellsworth did cheat. But like they kept saying, how can you break a rule when there are no rules? So the main event of SmackDown was Jinder Mahal versus Luke Harper. We had interference from Baron Corbin and Randy Orton, both in the same match. Corbin just came out and teased his Money in the Bank briefcase. Orton came out and beat the shit out of Jinder. Not much to talk about there. We know that we're probably going to get another match out of that, and possibly a fucking Punjabi prison match. I don't think we've seen one of them for 8 or 9 years, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. We had an open challenge from Kevin Owens, and it was answered by Chad Gable, which I thought was quite interesting. It was nice to see American Alpha. And I really actually wanted Chad Gable to win this. I knew he probably wasn't going to, but I thought it would be really interesting if he did. And obviously we had the big return of Daniel Bryan, which was really nice to see. He nearly killed James Ellsworth for mentioning his daughter. And I tweeted out, James Ellsworth versus Birdie Joe, book it Vince. Probably not going to happen. Well, obviously not going to happen, for fuck's sake. And the big news is, the big thing to take away from this night is that Carmella was stripped of the Money in the Bank briefcase, and we will be getting a rematch next week on SmackDown. So we've got that to look forward to. I suppose SmackDown might be worth watching. My prediction to win that match is Carmella. I think it's just a waste of time, really. If it was up to me, I'd have just kept the briefcase on her. You know, she can say, oh, I'm the first ever two-time women's Money in the Bank holder, and, you know, just piss everyone else off more. So, yeah, my prediction for next week to win the Money in the Bank briefcase again is Carmella, and I think she'll win it legitimately this time. So there you have it. That's my Money in the Bank Raw and SmackDown review for this week. Week commencing the 19th of July or June, whatever month we're in. Not a bad pay-per-view, not a bad Raw, not a bad SmackDown. Nothing earth-shattering, nothing groundbreaking, but nothing too bad. So thanks a lot for listening. You can find me on Twitter at CulturalStewPod. Please go and follow me there. I'm hilarious. And please share this podcast. Please get me more listeners. You know, I've only got 3 followers at the minute, and one of them is me. So just help me out. So thanks a lot. Thanks for listening. And goodbye.